Welcome to the Grappling Discourse Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Scaff. Today, I want to talk about steroids. Steroids are super common in sports. It seems like every month or so, we hear of a famous athlete popping for some type of performance-enhancing substance. This is true in jiu-jitsu. Steroids are very popular. Now, I'm not here today to make any accusation or try and guess what percentage of the professional jiu-jitsu athletes use. I'm really here today to talk about my journey and how I have dealt with the steroid dilemma. Because it is a dilemma for any athlete and anyone that's trying to be competitive in sport. You're always going to have to ask yourself, am I going to do steroids? Growing up, I was a huge soccer player. Soccer was by far my best sport. I wanted to play professionally. And it just wasn't really a thing that I had ever heard of. It's like soccer players abusing steroids. So in high school and college, I didn't know anyone that used steroids to play soccer. Now that's not true for some of the other sports, but for soccer, it just was never something I thought about. I didn't really understand how it would give me a competitive advantage. Now, if I had known about like EPO and blood doping, that would have interested me way more because soccer is way more of a cardio sport. And so having that extra cardio would have been amazing. But anyways, I didn't know anything about it. Me and my friends, none of us ever thought about doing steroids. We weren't trying to get super jacked. We wanted to be lean and fast with really, really good cardio. And it wasn't really until I started jiu-jitsu and I started to get really serious into the sport that I started to ask myself, well, should I try and find some type of performance-enhancing substance to improve my performances? And when I first found jiu-jitsu, I was coming off of a failed soccer career. I had taken a couple of really bad injuries, and those injuries kind of led me to spiral down a dark path for a year or so where I was partying and really just drinking way too much and acting like an idiot. When I found jiu-jitsu, it just really, really ignited a passion in me. And I knew I had found something that I wanted to pursue. And as I found out more and more about the sport, I started to set more and more lofty goals. And as the goals became just higher and higher, it really became kind of daunting in my mind. Like, instead of just like, hey, I want to get my blue belt, it was, hey, I want to win in ADCC trials. I want to get my black belt in under 5 years. I want to make it to ADCC. I want to get a medal at ADCC. I want to be this, I want to be that. And I'd really started hearing about steroid use as I got into my colored belts. And again, as I started to really compete more and more and I started having success, I started hearing about how popular steroid use was in the jiu-jitsu community. And this was for a couple of reasons. The biggest though being that first, this sport's unregulated. There isn't a testing body. So if you go to ADCC, you are not going to be tested. If you go to a local NAGA, you're not going to be tested. And so it really gives athletes the free rein to make that decision. Am I going to use illegal substances? And by illegal substances, there are no illegal substances because that NAGA doesn't say anything about what you can and cannot take before the performance. As long as you go out there and you follow their rules, you can do whatever you want outside of the competition. And same is true for ADCC. So I guess I really should say that there isn't a rule against steroids at ADCC, and there isn't anybody that's going to test you. Now, the second big thing is I had heard that, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I'd always heard that steroids and performance-enhancing substances were legal in Brazil. And so in the States, you can't just go to your local GNC and get a bottle of testosterone. But in Brazil, if you can go to your local, you know, GNC or whatever they have down there, and you can actually buy steroids. So Brazilians just don't have that negative stigma that Americans have. And I remember growing up in the 90s and early 2000s. I remember watching Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa break the home run records. Then I watched Barry Bonds go out there and have one of the most magical seasons in sports history, in any sport. He went out there, hit, I think it was 73 home runs, like just was hitting a home run every other plate appearance. And baseball was a sport that I bonded with my brother and father in. My brother played, my father really liked baseball, and so I liked baseball. Something we could all do together. We could play, like, we could make fantasy teams, and so we all followed baseball. It was like the one sport. So I remember when those guys started to get accused of cheating. And I remember these guys like Roger Clemens and Sammy Sosa and Barry Bonds having to go in front of Congress. They're getting grilled by congressmen. Everyone's calling them cheaters and trying to blackball them. And some of them are still blackballed from the Hall of Fame. And I never wanted that. And so steroids to me was always this thing that was super illegal and something that if you got caught, it was shameful and you had basically disgraced your performances as an athlete. Well, as I've matured, and again, as I've gotten more into jiu-jitsu, I really have started to change. Like, my stance isn't that at all. But as I'm, you know, really finding more and more out about the sport of jiu-jitsu, and I'm hearing people talk about how, you know, it's really common for Brazilians to use steroids just because, again, there's the stigma doesn't exist, and that if you want to do well at ADCC, you basically have to do steroids. If you don't, you are just competing at a huge disadvantage. And I remember watching some of those ADCCs, in particular, the one with Husamir Paul Harris. I remember watching Paul Harris and Andre Galval. If you haven't seen that match, I've talked about it a couple of times before on this podcast. It's one of the best no-gi jiu-jitsu matches of all time, but just watch that match and you'll see why an athlete might be interested in doing steroids. I mean, those guys are jacked. I mean, it looks like, I mean, they look like they're mini Hulks. Like, they could be on the set of the Avengers as one of the Avengers. And it really just made me look at myself in the mirror and go, how in the world am I supposed to compete with these guys? I mean, yeah, I've got like the outline of a six pack and I've got like decent looking biceps, but please, let's be honest. I'm skinny. I'm a little short. I'm tiny compared to these dudes. I look pathetic compared next to these guys. And it really made me start to kind of just look into it, you know. What are steroids? Because again, I didn't know what they were. I didn't realize how many different performance enhancing substances there were. And I didn't know what would, you know, even where to begin and what a jiu-jitsu athlete would take. But what really got me interested was when I was a purple belt. So when I was a purple belt, I, as many of you know, I took my two worst injuries in jiu-jitsu. So the first one was the torn UCL. So I tore my UCL in my right elbow, tore it 75% of the way through, and, you know, basically I could have gotten surgery. I could have got Tommy John surgery, but it took me a long time to heal. And that was the first time that I really seriously considered doing steroids. And I might have done it if I just hadn't found that I could train with one arm. And so I was looking at all these different ways. So I was looking at different ways, like how can I train? Like my elbow's jacked, how can I train? Or, hey, my elbow's jacked, torn UCL, is there anything that I can do to make the healing process 3, 4, 5 times faster? Because I had been told by my doctor, the lovely Dr. Michael Cantrell, that I was going to be about 6 months until I had about 85 to 90% use. Like, it was about 85, 90%. And then about a year till it was 100. And I wanted to, okay, maybe I could get it to like 3 months where it was 85, 90%. And then 6 months, 100%. Maybe faster. Maybe I could find something. And I was looking at all these different peptides and all these different steroids, and I was really considering buying a TB500. So TB500 was just something I'd been reading about on like a bodybuilding forum where guys that, you know, were basically like lifting insanely heavy weights, they were tearing the rotator cuffs, they were tearing, you know, different ligaments, and they were supposedly using this TB500 to magically heal in under a couple of months. You know, full rotator cuff tears, they were saying, were completely healed. And this really piqued my interest. But as I read more and more about the peptides, you know, this is a peptide that they were used, like they used in racehorses. And I was like, am I really going to ingest, you know, put something in my body that they put in racehorses? And I decided not to. And again, the big thing was because I found a Henner and Huron video where they were talking about Henner breaking his arm and him training with one arm for months and how much better his jiu-jitsu got. So I went that route instead and I trained with one arm and then I wore a big bulky brace and I was back competing after, I think it's about 5 months, I did my first competition and I ended up winning it. So I was really, really pleased. But unfortunately, I kept pushing it. I kept training. I never really let my elbow get to 100%. I couldn't really weightlift like I needed to. I was starting to develop all these muscular imbalances. And as most of you know, my most catastrophic injury, it occurred a few days before I got my brown belt. I tore the labrum in my shoulder. And this is where I really considered using some type of testosterone, some type of steroid stack. And so there was a student at our gym. This guy hasn't been a part of our gym for many, many years. I don't think he's been at our gym for like 6 years. So most of you guys, like any of you guys from the gym, like 99% of you won't even know who I'm talking about. But he was a huge steroid user. He was a big bodybuilder. He was absolutely jacked. And for a long time, he just kept telling me like, hey, how much better would you be if you got on a stack? How much better would you be? He really got in my mind like, okay, like you're doing really good right now, but imagine you're 15 pounds heavier. You can train way harder and longer because you don't get anywhere near as sore and you're, you know, 50 pounds stronger, like on all of your lifts. And it was always kind of fun to like think about it. And what he was wanting to do was he was wanting to get private lessons in exchange for, you know, he sold steroids at, you know, a couple of different gyms. He was a personal trainer and he wanted to, again, do like, I'll give you the steroid stack and you give me 4 private lessons. And I always resisted. But after my shoulder surgery, I'm super depressed. You know, I'm off the mats for 2 months. I'm looking at all these things and I finally take him up on this deal. So my plan was to, you know, do all the rehab because it'd just be stupid to take steroids right after a shoulder surgery. Like I'd done all this research about how if you took steroids too soon after shoulder surgery and you, because the muscles would get stronger, but the ligament that had been healed or the labrum in this instance that had been healed, the muscles, yes, would be much stronger. So I might feel better than I actually am. And I would do something stupid and I'd re-tear my shoulder. That was really common. Same thing with the knee ligaments. Guys got themselves in trouble because they did steroids, felt good, tried to push it too hard on the recovery, and then they're having to start back, get the surgery, and then start back at square one. And so I was going to wait until the 10-week mark. 10-week mark, I was supposed to be right around 75%, depending on how well the surgery went and how well my physical therapy was going. And it was about the time like I was going to start actually like lifting very, very small weights. And so I was going to start an 8-week stack. I was going to talk to him and start an 8-week cycle of, you know, some type of steroid. And what's funny is with this guy, like he was very adamant, like he was like, you don't ever have to cycle off. He's like, I haven't cycled off in 5 years. And these is the numbers that I do. And the numbers that he did were like astronomical. Like I found out later, again, as I did more and more research, the numbers like that or the amount of stuff he was taking was astronomical compared to, you know, even what like a doctor would prescribe you if you had low testosterone. So like he was like abusing it. And he wanted me to take testosterone as well as DECA. And so I remember like getting in touch with them, like, hey, you know, I've been off the mats for 6 weeks. I'm just now starting to get back to light movements. My plan is, you know, I'm going to do light movements for a month or two. It was really a month. So again, 6 weeks I came back, and in 4 weeks, I'm going to be doing more and more. I'm going to be doing more and more physical therapy, and I'm going to finally start getting back to actual movements, like actual, you know, strength movements. I want to do some type of cycle. And so as the time approached, he gave me, I can't remember, he gave me a bunch of syringes with a bottle of testosterone, as well as a bottle of DECA. And I was supposed to, I remember like looking at all of these different sites, like injection, like where am I supposed to inject this? What's the best way to inject this? And, you know, all these different things. And so I go back, I'm contemplating. I'm living with my brother at the time. Me and my brother, you know, are living in this house together. And I remember just like pulling down my pants and looking in the mirror, like just like looking at my butt, like where am I going to stick this needle in my butt? Because I knew in a couple of days I was going to start this cycle. And I'm like really thinking, you know, and then I'm looking at my like thigh, I'm looking at my leg muscle, okay, like maybe I should go through my thigh. Like those are the two best, like my upper butt, like kind of in that hip area, or my thigh. And I decided that I was going to do my upper butt. Like, that's what everybody said you should do first. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do my upper butt. Well, it comes time to do the steroids. And I remember filling up the syringe. And I got it. And I just couldn't stick the needle in my butt. I just couldn't do it. I think, like, if I would have had somebody else there to do it for me, I would have done it. But I just couldn't do it. And I ended up just like, it was like 30 minutes, maybe even longer. Maybe I was in this bathroom for like an hour, just contemplating, like almost doing it. And then not like putting it like real close, not doing it. And I remember just throwing it all away. Like I threw away that syringe and needle because I knew, like, you know, obviously as long as it had been out, you just can't leave something like that. I didn't want, you know, the like germs to get on it. And so then if I did end up, you know, doing it, I didn't want it to get affected or anything. So I ended up throwing that away. And I remember a day later, my brother asks me, he's like, hey, why is there like a syringe? You know, I ended up like kind of, I ended up like flushing the testosterone out. So it was an empty syringe, but he just like, why is there a syringe in the garbage can? And I was like, oh man, like, you know, I can't even remember what I told him. I was like, yeah, man, like I was, you know, injecting like vitamins. Cause like I knew my mom, like she injected, like got like vitamin B injections like every couple of months. And so I was like, yeah, like I like borrowed like mom's like vitamin B injection. And he just looked at me like, I was an idiot. You know, he clearly knew I was lying because I was just making something up on the spot. And I ended up like, I still had that batch and I ended up just throwing it all away. And the biggest reason I did was, again, I started training with one arm again. And I remembered how much better I had gotten from training with one arm the first time I had done that. So I was like, okay, I'm going to let this be my performance enhancer. I'm going to use this time, these next 3 months, to train with one arm, be at this huge disadvantage. And then when I come back, I'll be way better technically. And that's what I did. And so I never did steroids. Now, I have done SARMs. So SARMs are also illegal, and especially in like college or like professional sports. So if you get caught with things like Osterine, or I can't remember what the other ones were, but I did try a bottle of Osterine, and I did that for my elbow. So when I had torn my UCL, I didn't do any testosterone or anything. I didn't inject anything, but I was taking Osterine pills. I did that for 2 months. I felt zero benefits from doing that. I didn't get any stronger. I didn't heal at all. I felt like I just wasted, like, it was like $150. And I got it at like my local vitamin shop, and it was a complete waste of money. So whatever I got, it didn't help at all. And that's really the extent of my PED like use. So I did SARMs one time and then I bought steroids but never injected them. And so it's a pretty lame story, but what I really want to say is why I'm really happy I never did steroids, but also that I'm probably going to do them in the future. So I just turned 31 years old at the beginning of this year. I am so happy that I just didn't do anything to kind of mess up my endocrine system, all my hormones, like everything feels good. I'm really pleased that, you know, I just was always really worried about starting steroids young, like when I was thinking about doing it as like a blue and purple belt, like starting it in my mid-20s and then just kind of being addicted to it, you know, because I would just feel like I just never wanted to feel like I couldn't perform without them. Like I didn't want to feel like, and I'd heard about athletes that, and I think we've seen it, especially with guys in the UFC, that before WADA came in and before Jeff Nowitzki came in and just started busting everybody, we saw some guys just absolutely dominate. But after they started doing really stringent drug tests, we saw a lot of these guys just go on horrific losing streaks. They weren't the same fighters. They just looked completely different and they fought completely differently. And I didn't want that to be me. I didn't want to be mentally, I needed it, you know? I didn't want to be mentally addicted to it. I didn't want those excuses to be there. And my plan has always been to check my testosterone levels in my 30s. So I actually just took my first blood test where I'm getting my testosterone checked. I did that Friday, so I'll get the results sometime this week. And whenever my testosterone starts to lower, which I'm hoping isn't for a few more years, I'm going to start doing some type of testosterone replacement. But until then, I'm going to remain just a guy that eats meat, takes BCAAs, drinks lots of water, and trains as hard as he can. And I think the benefits of doing that is first, you know, the stronger you are, especially the earlier you are doing jiu-jitsu. So if you start jiu-jitsu when you're 35 years old and you're absolutely jacked, you bench 450 pounds, you squat 600, your jiu-jitsu will always lag behind technically than other people. Now, the results might not lag behind, but your jiu-jitsu technique will. And I've seen this many, many times. Guys that are absolutely jacked struggle to slow down, struggle to improve technique. And whenever they start to go slower or whenever they start to get older and they can't use as much explosion or they get injured because they are exploding way too much, they find that their technique is nowhere near as good as they thought they were. So they're like, man, you know, I'm a blue belt and I have a lot of success, but I find that my success, a lot of that is dependent on my strength. And so I really think, you know, and I've told a few people this, like, hey, you know, look, steroid use, it's up to you. It's not illegal in the sport of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. It's not illegal. But I would really wait. If you're going to do it, wait until after a couple of years. Really let your technique lead the way. Let technique be the base of your Jiu-Jitsu. Let technique guide you until at least you're a purple belt, you know. Let that be it, and then try and get as big and as strong as you possibly can. And you'll really know, you'll kind of know the difference of when you're using technique and when not. Because when you don't have that crazy strength, you'll know when you get it, you'll know when you're like, oh, okay, like I only got that because I bench pressed off this person that's 15, 20 pounds smaller than me. Or I only got that choke. I wasn't really technically right, but it was just I had the squeeze to finish him. And I'm kind of excited, you know, when I get to 35, 36, when I start getting in my 40s, man, I'm going to get that Joe Rogan strength. I'm going to be on all that stuff. And then I'm going to have the technique that I've built for many, many years. And I'm going to hopefully be sitting around 180, 185, and I'm going to be absolutely shredded, and I'm going to be performance enhanced out of my mind. And so that's kind of my plan. So I don't want you guys to hear this episode as a judgment on anybody that does steroids. I do not think it's cheating. I've actually really considered from the times that I was like appalled by it because of what the sports writers and what the sports community was saying about the Olympic athletes and the baseball players that had tested positive, to now where I'm more like, man, I just think everybody's body, like it's everybody's own choice. And I don't think steroids are the ultimate decider of who wins. I think there's plenty of examples of clean athletes beating steroid, performance enhanced athletes. But at the same time, we all know that, look, performance enhancers are a huge, 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 huge benefit to the athlete that's using them, and they can be a big difference maker in deciding who wins and loses. But it's not the end all be all. But again, I really think that the later you can, you know, use it, especially guys after your, you know, testosterone starts to drop, I think we all should do it. You know, I think the worst thing you can do is let your testosterone tank and get to really low numbers. Like, you need to be doing something to boost your testosterone. Like, that's what a healthy male does. Same thing for women. You want your hormones to be in healthy levels. But I do think that you should be discouraging anybody, especially under the age of 30, from starting to do steroids, especially for a sport that at its highest levels only paying you a couple of $1,000 to win. You know, you're really doing it for the glory. You're not doing it for, you know, the money. It's not like you're going to get absolutely filthy rich from, you know, hey, if you, the difference between you making $5 million this year and, you know, $100,000, or is this cycle of steroids? It's like, no, it's not that serious just yet. So that's, guys, my history with it and my plans in the future. We'll see what my blood work comes back. What's really funny is before my blood work test, so I got a comprehensive blood work done, drawn Friday, and I'm getting the results this week. I'm imagining my cholesterol is going to be sky high. So I fasted for like 17 hours before this blood test, but the night before I ate a bunch of sausage. So I'm really putting to test this theory of like, all right, we'll see what this cholesterol, you know, comes to. I bet mine's going to be sky high. And I'm just hoping that they're not going to try and convince me to get on some type of, cholesterol medicine that's going to lower my cholesterol, because I'm definitely not going to do that. Until next time, guys, let me know what you think about steroids. Do you think they're good or bad? Do you judge people that do steroids? Do you think steroids should be illegal from jiu-jitsu? I've heard so many arguments pro and against steroids. The last thing I'm going to say is Louis Simmons was a guy that also made me consider almost doing steroids, because Louis Simmons, he's been on Joe Rogan. He is the owner of Westside Barbell, which houses the strongest lifts in the country. So some of the strongest guys in the world, they train at Louis Simmons gym. It's an invite only gym. He only works with elite level athletes or elite level strength athletes. And I remember his episode on Rogan where he was just like, look, if you're a professional athlete or trying to be a professional athlete and you're not using performance enhancers, you are an idiot. And he just was talking about how it's bad for your body, how you're not maximizing your potential as a human, and all these different things. And it really made me go back down the steroid rabbit hole too. Okay, I need to do something. I need to maximize my human potential. But as I said, I'm glad I haven't done it, and I will be doing it though at some point in the future. Until next time, guys, I love and appreciate you. Peace.